Okay, well, welcome everybody to the WBRX 8:30 a.m. wake up call. And I know it's been a little bit. We had a off week last week, and we're back in the saddle here today, and excited about all the information that we're going to be walking through. And I know for Sean and for myself, you know, we really do look forward to these calls because it gives us, you know, a unique opportunity to kind of connect, not just with one another, first with ourselves and then with one another and then with everybody else. And I think it's a great way to get the week started, and we really look forward to them. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to start off, you know, talking about is as you guys are, you know, creating culture and building your organization individually, we encourage you to, as soon as you have people looking at the business, as soon as you have people involved with you in the business, this is a great opportunity, you know, to have those people come to these calls. We realize that, you know, 8:30 in the morning on Monday is only going to really propagate those that have, you know, genuine interest in learning the details and the nuances with respect to building the business. We get that. But, hey, make sure that you do everything that you can to keep people informed, communicate, and invite them to these calls. It's a phenomenal way to get the week going, to get things started, and to, you know, keep people mindful of what our focus is here at WBRX as we're building our business. So as soon as you can, start promoting these calls, make people aware, get them in the loop. It's a great way for them to connect with Sean, myself, and also, you know, spend a little time, you know, giving us feedback. We get feedback from you guys. I've gotten a lot of feedback on these calls. It helps direct and gives us information as to, you know, information we probably should be covering, what would be more relevant. And that's really what we do. These calls are not only designed for, you know, a blanket or general information, but they're designed for specific things that are, you know, more relevant to what's going on in the current time. You know, and right now, as it sits today, we have a brand new month. We're starting off today, the first of the month. And, you know, it's always a great time, right? Because it's brand new, it's fresh. And as you designate and set goals, you know, for this month, you look back on the previous month at, you know, what worked and what didn't work, hopefully, you know, and it's our hope, first of all, of course, and our assumption that those of you that are on these calls, that you have actually designated goals, that you have put together, you know, plans of action, that you, you know, thought, you know, of the things that you wanted to accomplish, and you actually wrote them down. And really what we're going to be talking about today, you know, is maybe a little bit of a process that we all go through, and everyone goes through a bit of a different process in terms of how we establish and set goals. And, you know, and we just offer information that might be relevant for you and for what you're looking to accomplish. And many of you, you know, in the month of May, perhaps that was a month where you had set goals, or you had accomplished them, or you had set goals and maybe you did not accomplish them. You know, it's always said that it's always better to, you know, shoot for the stars and hit the moon, you know, shoot high and miss, than it is to shoot low and hit. You know, and I'm a big believer in that. You know, we all have different ways of going about what we do. And, you know, we like to, you know, help people, you know, accomplish their goals, whatever that is. I'm not here to determine what anybody's goal is. I'm not here to determine JP's goal or Gail's goal or Ruben's goal or Michael's goal or Mitchell's goal or, you know, we're here to, you know, what we want to do is we want to help you guys. You know, you guys have your own, we don't want to impose our goal on you. We want to help you accomplish your goal, whatever that is. And we don't know what those are all the time. Sometimes you let us know, sometimes you don't. You know, some people, you know, don't like to let other people know because there's a sense of, or sort of accountability. And that's the reason that, you know, oftentimes people don't set goals. There are consistent reasons why they don't. I think the four most prominent reasons that people do not set goals is they don't even know the value of it. I honestly believe, without a doubt, after all these years, that people just generally speaking don't believe or think there's a value in establishing goals. So because they don't believe that there's a value in it, like they hear people talk about the importance of writing it down, and there's different components of what people will suggest or hear depending upon what snippet you believe or don't believe or listen to, but they don't know there's even a value in it. And then the other most common area is that they don't know how to set goals. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about, just very basic, straightforward, practical things that you can do to set and establish goals, whether it's in WBRX or anything that you're doing, your personal health, your personal financial life, your family, whatever it is that you find of value and importance. You can set goals in every specific area. And once you've set them and you've determined the value of them and you've determined your why, then you just simply write them down, and then there's a process that you can go through that will help you drastically improve your probability of accomplishing those goals. And we'll discuss that today. And a part of it really is, if you believe that you establish goals, set them and write them down, that they can actually occur, or the likelihood of them occurring is far greater than if you don't. We'll talk about examples. And then outside of people don't know the value of them and they don't know how to set them is the fear if they set a goal that they don't accomplish it. And then of course the other is a general fear of rejection, right? I mean, when people decide, hey, I'm going to set a goal, I'm going to do all I can to accomplish it, and maybe they feel apprehensive about, having a sense of accountability. I find that that's very true. There's a lot of people that are challenged with different things, right? I mean, some people have a challenge with authority. I mean, that's just a fact, and everyone's different. I certainly have had that in my life, growing up. I mean, because sometimes the environment that I was in, the authority figures that were around me, I saw them very fallible. And I was challenged as I look back at the idea of listening to those that were in charge, because the direction that they were, sending me was not at all in my best interest, right? So we all have things. I mean, we're all, unique individual people that have a unique set of circumstances that are different from one another. But oftentimes we can learn and we can benefit from, the things that maybe, prevented us from accomplishing what we can accomplish. And it's often said that, we all face, and today in the environment that we're in, we all have, some challenges that are going on outside, right? I mean, the outside. I mean, we have an economy that was just shut down, okay? The greatest economy that the world's ever seen was just shut down. It was shut down because of a pandemic, right? Now, we can all, have our own personal thoughts or positions with respect to the data that supports whether or not the country should have been shut down. And only history will reflect in looking back at whether or not that should or should not have happened, because that's still very much out, that's still very much a question, right? Whether depending upon which perspective you have, but that's really not the issue. The issue is the same challenge that occurred for you is the same challenge that is out there for everybody as it relates to that pandemic and being shut down, right? For every company that's in business or has gone out of business, okay, and it's affected everybody differently depending upon what industry you're in or what, business you're in, everyone has been impacted on some level differently, okay? But the fact is the same rules and the same challenges with respect to being in a lockdown where you can't go out and, really exercise your personal liberty and your freedoms as it has been the case for everybody. And so we know that there's been a general sense of uncertainty that people now are experiencing, whereas before they believed that they had stability. But the reality is that uncertainty and getting up and going to get coffee in the morning is a risk. Anything can happen. We just don't perceive it to be such, right? And so the reality is that life as we have it in this world is going to have challenges, okay? And there's going to be risks associated, but we can determine individually how we respond to all of it. So the winds of the challenges that are going on in the world are on everyone. The same wind that blows on you blows on me. The same wind that blows on your families blows on our families. The same sense of uncertainty and unrest that's now taking place, which is tragic, but what's even more tragic than the actual incident itself that occurred in Minneapolis, sadly enough, has been the response. It's even more tragic. We know this, right? So we have a clear example in terms of what's taking place demographically in our country right now of an incident that occurred with one man and another man, and now it's caused an upheaval of responses around the country. You know, I lived in L.A., you know, when the Rodney King incident occurred. That may have been before, I think most of us on the phone probably can remember that. And I lived out there. I actually had a health club and a physical therapy practice that was within 5 miles of the epicenter of all that occurred when the truck driver was pulled out of his car as a result of that, and the riots commenced and began, and looting, massive looting, started throughout the city of Los Angeles. I was right there in the middle of it, sitting in my health club with, you know, concerned that my facility would be broken into. Fortunately, it was not, but it was mass chaos. And it was a huge amount, there was a huge sense of uncertainty. And the National Guard was deployed, driving up and down the streets. And I never forgot that. I learned that as a young man, that at any particular point in time, things can change within a heartbeat. You know, things can massively change. You know, we experienced massive fires in Malibu, where one day you had an individual that you knew, and then the next day their house was completely gone as a result of nothing that they did, but because of things that were going on in nature. And so we live in an uncertain world where we don't know. And the only thing we have control of, is what we personally respond to, how we respond, and what we think about on a daily basis, so that we can maximize the benefits of ourselves and our business and our opportunity and our family and all of the things that we perceive to be of value, right? So, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about this morning as we get going is that every one of you, you know, you have, whatever the goals are that you've established, you know, as you, you know, kind of go about your daily life, you know, I can tell you this, in goal setting, in my experience, every great success in life, personally for me, will represent some sort of triumph in persistence, okay? And so your ability to begin and then persist through all the crazy obstacles that you're going to face and the difficulties until you achieve that goal, okay, is going to be the critical determination of whether you're going to have success or not have success. So whatever it is that you set a goal in, I promise you, okay? Now, there's a flip side of persistence, and that flip side of persistence is courage. Now, the greatest challenge that any of us are going to face in life is the conquest of our own personal fear. Okay, I promise you, I have seen and listened to more fear in the last 60 days. And you know, fear, the acronym for fear, right, is false expectation appearing real. And we know that, it's been said that it's not the absence of fear, because fear is going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It's how we respond to it. And many people that we've listened to, famous throughout time, I can give you case in point. I know Winston Churchill, he wrote that courage is rightly considered foremost of the virtues, because it's upon everything else that we depend. So fear is always and has always been the greatest enemy that any of us will ever face. There's been people, presidents of this country, Franklin D. Roosevelt said that the only thing that we have to fear is really the fear itself. And that occurred, you know, as we were attacked, you know, by Japan back in 1941 when World War II started, right? So the emotion of fear rather than the reality of fear is what causes anxiety, stress, and unhappiness as a whole. So what we can do to develop the habit of courage and unshakable self-confidence, it is a whole world of possibilities that's really available for you, for me, and for everybody. So, you know, if we are prepared to accept the reality that there are daily risks and challenges for everybody, and there's distinguishing differences. We know that, you know, success leaves clues, and people and the patterns of thought and the way that they've exhibited themselves throughout the course of time will determine, right, whether we're going to have success or not. But there's clear patterns of thought. And the starting point of overcoming fear in most cases is to look at all the factors that you have to be afraid of. And as we know, the root source of fear is probably some sort of conditioning we had when we were kids. You know, I can tell you as a kid, you know, the fear of you know, having to face, you know, being without, or the fear of having to go into a room where, you know, maybe I'm the only Caucasian kid and not knowing how everyone was going to respond to me. And that would vary depending upon the day. And there was challenges as a little guy, right, in a school where, you know, I am so familiar with the challenges that minorities have, because I felt like a minority in this country because I grew up in an area where, you know, in South El Paso, where it's predominantly Hispanic in that day, there was an influence of African-American because of a army base. And, you know, that created that influence. And then very few Caucasians at the school I went to and the city as a whole in that day. Well, those things didn't just, that was a certain amount of conditioning that occurred for me. And usually this originates from some sort of destructive criticizing from people, right? It can literally be from your parents. In some cases, it causes us to experience different types of fear. Okay, so we have to get beyond those things. And then we have to start determining what we're going to do as we move forward. And I can tell you that fear in most cases is caused by a certain level of ignorance. Okay, when we have limited information that we become tense and insecure about, then the outcome oftentimes is fear. Okay, ignorance causes us to fear change, fear the unknown, and avoid trying something new or different. And as I look out at all that has taken place in my view over the last, you know, 60 days, is the uncertainty has caused people to have hesitancy. And we now, we're moving forward as, you know, independent brand partners in this thing called WBRX, and we're talking with people about products that can address the issues of anxiety. And the way that we're communicating the value-added proposition is that we ourselves have used product that it helps us. It helps us overcome the emotions and the challenges and the physiological changes that are with respect to that, right? So you have a phenomenal advantage, and we've seen growth in our business and people actually having success sharing the products and the opportunity, because people are challenged with the highest level of social anxiety that we have seen in a long, long time, okay? And as I talk with people about a wellness-based product, not a drug, okay, because we don't sell drugs at WBRX. We sell wellness-based consumables, okay? And when we look at how that is represented, it's all based upon, you know, how you feel about it and then how you express it with other people. So it's very important that, you know, we get ourselves into a position of determining how we're going to overcome our challenges. Okay. Now, you know that each of us, or all of us, as we get into the the topics of how we're going to make changes and how we're going to have great things happen, that all really stems from just some very basic things, okay? And there's a couple different factors that I like to use in my own walk, in my own life, that will determine, you know, how things are going to, you know, work out. Now, for me, if I have a vision and a defined way of going out and accomplishing that vision, then I'm going to, it's almost like every day, you know, I know that what I'm doing is going to, you know, have an outcome every day. And then every week, there's going to be a sum total of things that were accomplished in that week that's going to provide an outcome. And I have to look back at what I did in a day and over the course of a week to determine whether I need to make adjustments and changes as I move forward. So I'm a firm believer what one man can do, another man can do. I don't believe in the issues with respect to the changes that are going on out in the world. I believe that the issues are within myself, how I respond, the changes that I choose to make, how I'm looking at the outcomes, right? And if I can do that, then I can probably make much more traction in terms of the direction that I'm headed. So if I look out and I say, okay, what are the things I need to accomplish? Well, I'm going to have to stay focused, and I'm not going to allow my attention and my mind to get distracted by things that are of little value. So 80% of the result that I'm going to have, I believe, is based upon, or even more than 80%, is based upon my attitude and my focus, right? So if I look out there, I'm going to have a designated thought. And the thought can be a set of goals that I have, an outcome that I'm looking for by the end of the day, by the end of the week, by the end of the month. No different than anybody else. We all have these things. So the first thing that I've got to do is determine what are the factors that are going to contribute to my ability to visualize. What are those factors? Because everyone talks about visualization. Well, here they are. The first thing is, how frequent do you keep your focus on what you're trying to accomplish? How frequently do you visualize that outcome? How frequently over the course of a day do you allow yourself to have that level of imagination and belief that all things can happen in the positive rather than the negative? It's really simple, because your mind is going to ultimately, in your focus and where your thoughts are, because the reality is thoughts are things. They're real. So, and people don't necessarily believe that or realize that. If they did, then they'd be more careful as to what they allowed themselves to think about or look at or listen to. But that's just the truth. So once you've come to a destination and a position where you know that thoughts are things and they're real things and they're going to contribute greatly to your outcome, now how frequently do you allow yourself to focus in on what you need to focus in on? Now, I can find myself at any point in time during the day observing challenges, and if I allow my mind to stay focused on challenges rather than my outcomes or what I want to accomplish, I can find myself spending a disproportionate amount of time focused on things I have no control over. Many of the challenges that we face they're just problems that need solutions, but there are certain times when you just can't. Some problems, frankly, in the way of people or circumstances or things, are just unsolvable. So if you have something like we all do that is a challenge for us, and it's kind of there, it's on that shelf, and we kind of revisit it occasionally, that's normal. But if you find yourself dwelling and getting upset and angry about something that's challenging for you rather than just focusing in on the outcomes that you want to have anyway, and letting your frequency of thought be on that, in that direction versus the alternative. Because here's the thing. Thoughts are neutral. In other words, you determine on both the positive or negative side. If you find yourself dwelling things on the negative, I promise you, your outcomes will end up in that space. And the same is very much true on the other side. And people say, well, man, I don't know, Barry. I spent a lot of time focusing on the positive. Well, maybe you did and maybe you didn't. Because there's another factor. It isn't just the frequency of thought, it's the duration. all of us have experienced having a daydream, right? Maybe we daydream from here and there, depending upon our minds, right? If you have people that can cover about 50,000 thoughts within 2 minutes, and some of us are like that, and that's why we allow ourselves, because we're not focused necessarily, we allow ourselves to, and our minds to expand. Everyone's different. Our brains are miraculous, and they can cover a multitude of different thoughts. No computer is even close to the brain that you have. No computer. You can think about the past and the future in one single thought. And that's an amazing ability that God gave us as human beings, that we can literally determine our outcome in our life, because we can see everything if we allow ourselves to, and our minds are incredible machines. So you have the frequency of thought, and then you have the duration, how long you allow your mind to dwell on the things that are of good reproach, of things that are valuable, things that are in the direction of what you want to or hope to accomplish, right? And then the other element that's every bit as important as the duration, right, is the intensity, the emotion, what it is that you're putting into it. And I tell people all the time, man, if you're thinking daily and you're putting your focus on the right objectives and you're doing it frequently with a high level of duration, man, you are tracking. Now you're starting to move in the direction that you want to move in. And then you allow yourself to apply emotion and intensity to it. Hey, let me tell you something. Things begin to shift and change. Just this past month, Sean and I were having multiple conversations about the things that we hope to accomplish in our business by the end of the month. And Sean shared some numbers with me that he said, hey, here's what I believe is would be valuable for us to accomplish as a business. Here's, you know, how much business I'd like to see accomplished. Here's how much, you know, revenue I'd like to see in the bank, all these things. And so as I started listening to what he was saying, I started taking some of those specific numbers and identifying them in my own mind and start allowing myself to start perusing my mind as to how those things could be accomplished. Now, we can all do about 50 different things at one time. I watched my partner, if you ever watch him at any particular point in time in a setting, he could be, you know, sitting down talking to you and paying attention to what you're saying, but he'll be fiddling with this, that, or the other. But that's just, that's how his, we all are different. Some people can only do one or two different things at one time, and some people can do more things. But here's the reality. If you're focused in on a specific number that you know can be accomplished, and I'm a big believer that if I just zero in and I look at the landscape of what God has given us, of these phenomenal people, the amount of resources that they have, their prospects, hey, there's always a way of helping people accomplish their goals if we can get into the arena of ideas and start discussing them and start giving them information on a consistent enough basis. There's no doubt. It's all there for everybody, right? So when you start going into that stage, now you're working with frequency, duration, and intensity. And the last thing is consistency. Now, if I use those four pillars, frequency of thought, duration of thought, right, intensity of thought, and then last, the consistency, I will find myself zeroing in on the few things that make the most difference. If I allow myself to get over here into these other things, because here, let me just share this with you guys, whether you're having a disagreement with your significant other, or whether somebody in your life has just passed away, all distractions are equal. It doesn't make any difference. If you're distracted, by the way, you're distracted. If you're focused, you're focused. So the objective is to allow yourself to be as zeroed in on the few things that make the most difference. Because it's not about 20 things that you really are going to move the needle in your world as far as WBRX is concerned. There's about a half dozen things in every area of your life, your personal fitness, your emotional well-being, your emotional intelligence, your relationship with your family, your relationship with, you know, with God. There's about a half dozen things that will contribute to about 80% of the things that are going to make the most difference in your world. Not 20 things, not 100 things, about a half dozen things. If you if you pay attention to those half dozen things and you focus in on what you need to do strategically, tactically to accomplish those half dozen things in any area of your life, if it came to putting a new office together, starting a new company, there's about a half dozen things that will contribute to 80% of the results that are needed. Okay. And what people often do, and they don't intend to, is they find themselves focused on, what we call the insignificant many rather than the vital few. So guys, I spend the time to go through this information, and we've covered a lot of different topics. We've covered fear. We've covered, the state of things that are going on in today's world. We've talked about a lot of the preemptive factors that will contribute to success within your goals. And certainly we've talked about the areas that will help you and have the greatest contribution to what you're looking to accomplish. And guys, I offer this information because it's something that, I write down my goals. I have all my goals written down in my notes file on my phone, and I look at them every day. And I look at them in the present tense, and every one of us have a different set of goals. And the things that are going to determine your results, I promise you, are going to most frequently and most with the frequency, duration, and intensity and level of consistency. If you can establish that set or that criteria in your own life, you're going to see outcomes that will occur. And by the way, the example that I just gave of this particular month, I applied these principles, and as God would have it, we had a very positive result. Not because of me, okay, because of a joint effort, because of a collaboration, but these principles absolutely came into play, and the outcome was amazing. And God is good. He does amazing things. He can do amazing things for us all. But if you allow yourself to apply the principles that have been established for your outcomes and your goals, you'd be amazed at what can happen. I want to challenge you to do that in the month of June. Your month of June, I want you to take a good hard look at your goals and start putting together these principles in terms of how you can identify and accomplish those goals. And I think you also will be amazed. So with that, guys, I'm going to turn the call over to my partner, Sean. And I'm just so excited every day to have the opportunity to work with Sean. It's a blessing. It's something that, God has, brought. I could have never put it together, but, God can do anything. He brought us together. We've had an amazing journey so far. We're only getting started, guys. We've got a lot of incredible things that are going to be taking place as we continue to build. And so with that, I'm going to turn the call over to the president of the company. Sean, go ahead, brother.
Hey, great job, Barry, and I appreciate you sharing all the information this morning. It's funny because, you and I have been together now as friends and partners in different aspects of our journey for going on 20 years, and it's just funny because some of the things you're talking about today, you've talked about for the last, at least decade, and they're so equally relevant today, if arguably not more relevant. Now's a time that people are talking about a new normal, and they're talking about what things are going to be like after, and so on and so forth. And it's funny because there are going to be some things that change. Maybe we'll eat out less, or maybe we'll eat out more, and it'll look a little different than it used to, or maybe we'll the local pubs will have a different vibe. I don't know what all will happen, but what I do know is that there's some things that are time tested and that won't change. We need community and we need connectivity, and people need people, and they need encouragement and they need support. And much to what Barry's been talking about today, we as a human race, we need direction. We need goals. We need goal setting. We need accountability. And those are just things that sometimes people, in a social media based world or in a mask wearing world today, we forget about the things that really matter, like longevity, like creating something bigger than we, like leaving a legacy for our children, or if you're, depending on what you believe in your faith, the Bible says your children's children. And so we get so focused on the here and the now and the us that sometimes we forget about the bigger picture things that are important. So I really appreciate your words this morning and your direction and your encouragement, because those are the things that we really should be spending our time, energy, and effort on. And with that, I'll just kick over a couple of rocks here and walk you guys through some things that happened this week, because it's happening with enough frequency now that I believe that people must, there's some patterns are starting to show up, and different people are asking the same question, and even from different organizational groups. And we've got folks, in Mitchell's group like Gail Kenny. You know, I had a conference call with a guy named Bill yesterday, about an hour-long call. He was driving, I was driving, so we really got to kind of dissect some things. And he's familiar with the cannabis space and CBD, and he's familiar with, you know, with multi-level marketing. And so he had some preconceived ideas, and we were able to just commune and share. And we talked about everything from, you know, COVID to his day business. He works for a large staffing and benefits firm, and I happen to know a number of people within that organization, so we got to talk about people that we knew. And now the guy is very interested in additional information. He wants to get some samples. He wants to attend a Zoom call. He wants to understand the compensation plan. And I wasn't selling him anything, guys. So the reason I share all that with you is because I've had a couple of people reach out, again, from different cross-lined organizations, some, you know, with Mitchell, and some with Art, and some with, you know, Chance Mox Group. I mean, just different people kind of starting to ask the same question, which is, what do I say to my people? I mean, Dr. Nessick and I were even exchanging text messages, and the common theme, guys, and I've felt it as a distributor. I would say I still feel it as an owner, except I would tell you, I think it's just something that I've gotten past. Now, Barry did a great job talking about fear and courage, And so I want you guys to all know I had the same fears. I'm going to be perceived that I'm selling my friends. I'm going to be perceived that I'm desperate. I'm going to be perceived that I need something from them, and I don't want to be perceived as needy, right? Those are things, I just would tell you, and I'm not pointing the finger at any one of you. I'm talking about we as human beings. I had to flush my own, as Barry used to call it, stinking thinking. Because I'm not desperate, so I'm not going to appear to be desperate. Why would I have that fear? I want people to get involved in my business, but I don't need them to get involved in my business. I have a map towards optimal health and wellness. I've lost 40, 45 pounds. I'm exercising. I'm making good money. I'm building a business. I'm not COVID terrified. You know, and again, I'm not picking on anyone who is. I'm just saying, I had to learn that my own self-sufficiency and my own direction and my own path was actually appealing to people, not something that they perceived as carpet bagging or selling. I mean, if I had, and we don't, so please know that I'm mixing a metaphor here, but if we had the cure for cancer, would you worry that talking to your friend, they were going to be concerned that you were selling them or carpet bagging? If you had the cure for COVID, as an example, you know, or you knew a specific regimen, you would be singing it and screaming it from the mountaintops. So maybe the issue for some of us, and I say us, not y'all, we're in this together, but maybe the issue for some of us is belief, okay? Well, what is it belief in? If I'm right, is it belief in the product? Is it that we're worried that CBD is not all it's cracked up to be? Now, I know from studies and from personal testimonies and anecdotal testimonies of families and friends and neighbors of all ages, by the way. Gail sends pictures of her elderly father using his inhaler, which I just think is adorable and I love. And then I've got another friend here in my neighborhood that sends pictures a couple of times a week of their very small, asthmatic, anxious, semi-ADD child using the inhaler. So we've got all ages, guys, and we're hearing stories both anecdotally and as we go more scientifically of the benefits of the product. So it's not the product for me, but maybe it is for some of you on the call. Maybe it's the MLM term. Even though everyone that I talk to says, man, you guys are different. You're not a normal network marketing company. I don't feel sold at all. I don't feel pressured at all. Matter of fact, we have a Vincent Sinisi, if any of you know him. And if you don't know him, you should. He's a great guy. He's one of our founders, and he's also a PPC member. And he is a successful business owner, beautiful family, couple of kids, beautiful wife. And she's got psoriatic arthritis, which is the same thing Phil Mickelson has. So they've had wonderful benefits with the product. They believed in the company, so they not only became PPC members, but they also invested and bought a share in the company. But I will tell you, all of that is to say that you know, Vincent is a guy that very goal-oriented. He was a championship baseball, won a championship with the Rice Owls, and he's a guy that just knows what he knows and believes what he believes, whatever the case may be, very outspoken and very forward thinking. And so anyway, all of that to say, when we sat down and we got to talking about the benefits of the product and the benefit of the opportunity, what we basically realized together was that, you know, he was laughing, essentially, is the best way to say it. He was laughing at me as we were talking about how he got involved. And he said, "Dude, I didn't think we were ever going to talk business." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you and Barry and I went and played golf and we had lunch and we got to know each other." And then he said, I got in my truck and I left. And he said, I kind of wondered what it was that you guys wanted, because we never got there. We never discussed it. Well, the truth is, the meeting was set up as a golf outing. It wasn't set up as someone who was necessarily interested in a share or someone who was interested in being a distributor. And so Barry and I weren't trying to play a game of cat and mouse. We had been invited to go play golf after a very long couple of weeks. And so we just went and had a great time playing golf. And we connected with this gentleman and had a great time. So the point is if anything, as an organization, we could probably push a little harder. We could probably be a little more direct sales than we often are. People say, you know, you guys are so, you know, you're great educators and you're great informers, but man, you guys aren't really pitching your opportunity. You're not really selling. Well, maybe we should be. So I would just tell you, you know, it's all a matter of perception. If you think you sound multi-level, okay, then work on your verbiage. Call me or call one of the leaders in the organization. Barry's one of the best I've ever seen at just recrafting, not telling your story for you. Your story is your story, and it is immeasurably valuable, not only to you, but to others who would leverage your story. Now, on the call Saturday, I talked to several of you guys about how you don't even know that your story is what inspired someone else to try the product or inspired them to evaluate the business opportunity. You know, your story that you share is a testimony on a Zoom call that gets replayed, you know, a couple of days later, maybe a week later, maybe a month later. You know, it's like ripples in a pond. You were the rock that made the splash, and then you went on down the road to build your business and do your thing. But those ripples are still going across the pond in a way that that you may not even be aware of, which is such a beautiful thing, because you're sharing information and you're helping someone who maybe isn't even in your organization go out and sell product and close business. And that's such a gratifying thing. I mean, obviously you want to be doing that for yourself as well, but if you're not, you know that it's a rich feeling to help others, and it will come back to you. You know, I've already started to see synergy between, like, you know, Art and Michael and Gail and Chance, and they're not even in the same earning stream. They're not even in the same earning. I mean, Michael and Art are, I think, but Gail and Michael and Art are not. Chance is not. But these guys understand the value of encouragement and synergy, and they're working together to accomplish those things. So all of that, I would just share with you that if you are worried that you sound like a salesperson, or you are worried that you're pitching your friends, it is a normal fear, okay? This isn't me calling you out. This is me just encouraging you through it and encouraging you to take a step back and just evaluate maybe what that fear is based in. You know, is it based in the product? Is it based in the concept of multi-level marketing? Is it based in that right now people are just, you know, that everything's kind of unsure and in upheaval? Is it based in, you know, the fact that, you know, Sean has said something on a call that turned somebody off, or Barry has made a comment at a presentation that turned somebody off? Guys, that's going to happen. I mean, in any structure, in any organization, you know, some people love this athlete and other people hate the same athlete. Championship athlete, maybe a charitable person, does great things, but they don't agree with them politically, or they don't agree with them philosophically. Same thing with actors or actresses or political parties. We're no different. Some people are going to be very excited about CBD, and those are the ones you want to partner with. Some are going to be uneducated or misinformed about CBD, and those are the ones that we want to journey along with and educate. And some are just going to be flat turned off and think it's snake oil or witchcraft or whatever people think today. And those are the people you simply don't spend your professional time with. So really, guys, what I'm talking about now is the sixth step of the sorting process. If someone stands you up repeatedly for a call, watch what they do. Don't listen to what they say. If they're always busy but never productive, that may not be the person that you want to partner with today. It may be the person that you want to coach and mentor and bring along, but it may not be the person that you want to sponsor, because they may not be ready to build a business, or they may not be ready to go through the personal development and the philosophical changes that Barry, you know, spent a great amount of time, or just, you know, spent some time this morning going through in great detail. The value of these personal development changes, I had to personally go through them. I am still going through many of them. And you have to acknowledge and know that some people on their journey just won't be ready for what you have to offer. And note that I say offer. I'm not talking about selling them. I'm simply saying you are offering them an opportunity to evaluate a company, to do their own due diligence, and they're not going to be ready for that. I know in my faith walk, I talk to people, my friends that were drinking and partying and chasing girls, or girls that were chasing guys. I mean, I've seen it, you know, on both ends of the spectrum. And it gets old, and everyone will eventually, I believe, grow out of some of those more, you know, younger, more juvenile behaviors, but they will do that in their time. You know, I've got four children, and it's so funny. Barry and I talk about our kids all the time as learning lessons. Barry's got siblings, and I've got a sibling, and we couldn't be any more different. My children, while they're so unique and similar in some ways, they are so radically different than each other. I mean, I've got a boy and three girls, and I mean from hair color to eye color. You know, two of them look alike. Two of them look like they don't belong to the same family at all. Their personalities are radically different. My oldest daughter is definitely the alpha of the family, while my son, who's the oldest, is very studious. He's very introverted. He can carry a room, and he can be social if he needs to, but he'd rather, you know, read Google articles or read a book or spend time, you know, fishing by himself. He's just very, very introverted. Same mom, same dad, just a very unique person. But one of the things I would tell you that's so fun about this business is if you like people and you like engaging, what we find here and what helps people be successful, just like the call that I had with Bill that Gail set up, and I want to come back and say one more thing about Bill, but, you know, one of the great things is we immediately found commonality. We're different backgrounds, different skill sets, different age. I'm not exactly sure how old he is, but I think we're probably at least a decade or maybe more apart in age, but we found commonality. We shared time. We just communed on the telephone. We talked about family. We talked about the ups and downs of his day job right now. We talked about career path. We talked about all kind of stuff. And then, yes, ultimately, did we talk about the benefits of CBD? Absolutely. Did I walk him through our six-step marketing program, even though he's a prospect of the business? I sure did. Why not? Because it is the core of what we do. So why wouldn't he know what the benefits of the six-step marketing program to decide if it's something he wants to be involved with or not? So I just laid it all out there for him right there on the telephone. I didn't go into the comp plan, and I didn't get into all the science. I steered him towards the website because Dr. Jasani and Dr. Patel do a much better job on the science than I ever could, and Barry does a much better job presenting the slides on the compensation plan than I could just articulating it verbally on the phone. So I steered him to the website for some of the specifics, of course. But at the same time, I just gave him, you know, I just as transparent could be, up to and including, and this is the second thing that I wanted to say, and I want to caution all of you on the phone, because much like a child, I'm about to say a bad word, and you guys will have to pardon me, but much like a child, everyone from the prospecting to young distributors in the business to seasoned veterans, guys, they are watching everything you do much more than anything that you say. And the reason I tell you that is because, you know, this guy, Bill, he immediately was like, man, I'm so busy. And, you know, I got involved with this other direct sales CBD company. I didn't really have the success that I wanted. I mean, it wasn't a loser for me, but it wasn't the winner I hoped it would be. And he basically started going into things like, well, I'm not sure I'm going to have time to build the business. I'm not sure I can make a bunch of these phone calls. I'm not sure and he started talking about himself as if he was going to start a distributorship on an island. Now, maybe that was the experience he had with the other company, so that's maybe why he thought that was the case here, though it's not. And I had to tell him, I said, look, Bill, you and I are on the phone. Gail got us connected. You reached out to me on LinkedIn. I reached out to you via telephone, and here we are on the phone. Where is Gail? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, the point is Gail's not on the phone. Now, had I called Gail, Gail is a extremely professional, extremely diligent, hardworking woman. She would have gladly gotten on the call and listened or spoken or muted or participated or whatever, because that's just the kind of person that Gail is. But the truth is, I kind of wanted to talk to him without her, thinking that it might set a good example, which is the last thing I want to close with. I wanted him to know he doesn't have to be involved in every single conference call. I wanted to model for him or show him the art of leverage, the art of utilizing resources. Now, Gail is a wonderful resource, and she should be available, or she should be utilized by excuse me, others, leaders in the field. But this call, in this particular case, I wanted him to experience the company without Gail having to do all of the heavy lifting. Her work in this scenario was done by teeing it up. Now, I'll tell you, I believe he's going to get involved. We're going to get him sampled. We're going to walk him through the compensation plan. Gail will be involved in all of that. But we've now illustrated for him that she doesn't have to be on every call, nor will he have to be on every single call. You can leverage your time, your energy, and your effort with and by those around you. So the last thing I'll conclude with is, guys, we have got to do a better job as an organization. And I'm starting with myself. I'm talking about my partner, Barry. I'm talking about all of the leaders. Don't do things that aren't duplicatable. Don't do things that people can't or won't be able to do in your stead. So like side deals is an example. Now, we're a young company. Of course, you know, if you bought 100 meter dose inhalers and independently of us, you want to decide to do a buy one, get one promotion, or you want to issue a promotion code, or you want to go onto Facebook and reach out to your network. I mean, guys, you bought the product, you know, by and large, it's yours to do with whatever you deem or see fit. But keep in mind, others will be watching. I've never been a huge fan of cold calls. I'm not particularly good at it. It's not my gifting. It's not my skill set. So I'm always cautious when other people are like, well, I cold called this place and I cold called that place. If you're having success, God bless you. I don't want to interrupt you. You use your gifting. You use your skill set. And as long as the results are what you desire, do not ever let me get or stand in your way. But if you are the cold call king or the cold call queen, you have to realize that, and I forget the statistic I read, but it's like some 78 to 80-something percent of people are terrified to do a cold call. So just because you have the skill set and the gift of gab and the courage to walk in somewhere cold, be careful if that's what message you're sending your people, because some 80% of them are going to be terrified the minute you mention the word cold call. We've had some folks that got involved in the business, maybe at the rank of like PPC or a higher rank national marketing director, as an example, but they didn't get keyed into the computer initially the air quotes right way, the systemic or systemized way. And so after they bought, you know, or allocated and plan on spending $18,000 for a PPC order, they're coming back and complaining about the $50 sign-up fee or brand partner licensing agreement. Guys, we don't have a choice in that. That's an FTC compliance thing. Everyone has to go online and do their brand paperwork to be a licensed affiliate with our company. It's an indemnification process that protects both the brand partner and the company. It's one simple step. And guys, do we want to lose a $30,000 PPC order, $18,000 in hard dollars over $50? No. But believe you me, it's not the $50. It's the lack of communication. It's the skipping the step. It's someone maybe the step was skipped with maybe their sponsor had a step skipped. And so now we're two or three or four generations deep, and all of them are missing a step in the process because the very first person that got sponsored, well, that step got missed with them. Right, it's the old joke about, you know, the most expensive words in any company is, well, that's the way we've always done it. The way we've always done it might not be the way we always want to do it. And so sometimes we have to stop and back up and go, okay, we didn't do it the right way with this person, and now what's been duplicated is wrong, wrong, wrong times three or four people, when it's really just a byproduct of doing it wrong with one person and then it being duplicated incorrectly. The converse is true, and that's the positive. If you do the six-step marketing program correctly, if you sample them effectively, if you do things in a way that they can duplicate, your organization will absolutely explode. So while we have some areas of improvement, things maybe we could do a little better, a little tidier, at the end of the day, once those things are fixed and you're doing things in a productive, efficient manner, that also becomes duplicatable and your organization will explode. So on that, I'll leave with you for the week just my thought. Please have written goals. Please share them with somebody. And just please make sure that your daily actions and steps are filled with belief, they're filled with courage, and they're filled with the right steps that people can go out and duplicate, whatever they may be. I know that's a broad statement, but just evaluate the things you're doing, the pace at which you're going, and if you need to go faster because your prospects will go faster if you do. If you need to slow down and tidy some things up because you're, you know, letting some things slip through the cracks, then absolutely do that too. It's a self-evaluation process, and this is a great week for that. We're closing out May. We're leading into June. You know, reevaluate your plan as we discussed on Saturday. Evaluate the plan that you have had that led you here, and decide if that's the plan that's going to lead you to where you want to be in June, or if you need to adjust and redirect some things so that you get the goals, you accomplish the goals and the objectives that you want for yourself in June. If May didn't get you there, adjust, recalibrate, let us help you, and let's have a productive June, and let's close out some business. And with that, before I kick it back over to Barry, I'll just say, guys, hopefully you've got June 13th on your calendar. Hopefully you're registered. If you're not, please make that a Monday task. Let that be, let today be the day that you get registered for June 13th. You start registering and RSVPing your guests, and let's have a phenomenal event. June 13th is a great time because it's the middle of the month. It'll give us the last 2 weeks of the month to close up any business that's ready to pluck the fruit off the tree, so to speak, and let's have a great, fantastic June. So with that, Barry, great job today. As always, I look forward to a big week. I know we'll be up in Dallas tomorrow. I know we've got conference calls all week, and then before you know it, boom, the event, June 13th will be here. So guys, reach out, let us know if you need anything, and Barry, great job. I'll kick it back over to you. Barry may have gotten tied up. So guys, what I'll do is I'll just conclude the call. It is now 9:32. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for listening and for your diligence. Have a great week, and we will talk to you all very soon. Thank you.